a couple of updates. Dolores Stevens is in rehab now in Hoisington. Is there a Hoisington? Okay, then I didn't. I got it on my phone. This is my wife's phone, and so I didn't get that. But she's in rehab. Still a little confused, but doing quite a bit better. But she wants to go home. Imagine that. So just continue to pray for Dolores as she continues to gain her strength back. Also, John Folkert's father is 2 weeks done now with his radiation treatments. He has 4 weeks to go. His mom, sometime during the week, they spent the week over in Dodge City, got dehydrated, so she got to spend some time at the end of the week in the hospital, but they're both back and feeling pretty perky this weekend, but tomorrow starts the battle again, so just keep John's parents and the siblings as they come and go in your prayers, and that treatment will be effective and work healing in his life. Also, my wife said that it's okay to do this because I haven't given you an update for a while. And this is, went to sleep. There, thanks. This is from our daughter-in-law, Renee. I just carried up his car seat. They'll do a seat oximetry test, which means I think it sees if he fits in there and everything. That was really a fun walk. I couldn't stop smiling carrying it up here. I'm really content this holiday season just knowing we are fortunate enough to bring our baby home. I don't even care if it's not by Christmas Day. So just keep praying. It could be by Christmas Day. It could be a couple days after, but things are progressing well for Bryce. So that's some prayer requests. I wanted to thank Abby for her sharing what was on her heart and her vulnerability. I also wanted to take a little moment to brag on them. They are new to the congregation, and they've already brought a new person. You'll catch on later. So the rest of you, if in order to keep up, are either going to have to invite somebody or do what they did. So I did mention earlier, and I wanted to explain that. Krista got done with her tests on Wednesday, but stayed because she was the maid of honor in a wedding. And I knew that Adam Monahan was the brother-in-law of the bride, so I texted him because my daughter was nervous about doing the toast. Because she's helped me with some weddings that Brocky couldn't help me with. She's kind of run the back of the church, and then she's gone to some reception, and she's seen some bad toasts. And so she wanted to do a toast that charged the couple, that challenged the couple, that blessed the couple, and she wanted to do a good job. So I had texted dear brother-in-law of the bride. I was wondering if you could videotape secretly my daughter's toast, because I wanted to be part of that. And also, I said, please tell her, because we couldn't be there, that she's beautiful. And he texted me back, dear Todd, I'm the officiant, the best man, and the MC of the reception. I said, dear Adam, be blessed in those jobs. I'll find somebody else. So, but the toast went well, and so that's why Krista wasn't here, because we were planning on reading as the four of us today, so that's why she wasn't here. Let's pray this morning. God, today we do thank you that we see your hand working among us and bringing new life into our fellowship in lots of different ways. Even in the form of new birth, and we thank you for the new life that the Pennas bring and also the new life that you've blessed their home with recently. God, we pray that this morning you'll continue to be with the folks who are having some physical difficulties. And God, even as we get close to a great day next Sunday, there's some folks that this is a hard time for. God, we pray that you will shine hope into their life. That you'll bring peace where they don't feel good at all, that you will show yourself God with them. And God, today I pray that you'll be with the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts as we think about your scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a new song to me today, and that's okay. It's okay to sing a new song once in a while. If you're not musical, it's hard to sing a lot of new songs. But every once in a while, I go, okay, I'm going to work through this. So as I was singing this new song, Jesus is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness. Kids, it's good to be around children at Christmas. And kids and Christmas are a great combination. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, it's up there, it said, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Kids and Christmas, they go together. The great theologian Dave Barry, or maybe he's a columnist, he said this about Christmas. "Once again, we find ourselves enmeshed in the holiday season, that very special time of year when we join our loved ones in sharing in century-old traditions like trying to find a parking space at the mall. We traditionally do this in my family by driving around the parking lot until we see a shopper emerge from the mall. Then we follow her in very much the same spirit as the wise men followed the star 2,000 years ago. Week after week, we follow until it leads us to a parking space." He continued on writing about Christmas because you noticed he called it the holiday season in that part of the article. In another article, he said, "In the old days, it was not called the holiday seasons. The Christians called it Christmas, and we went to church. The Jews called it Hanukkah, and they went to synagogue. And the atheists, they called it nothing, and they went to parties and drank." Stay with me. "People passing each other in the street would say, 'Merry Christmas,' or 'Happy Hanukkah.' Or to the atheists, they'd say, 'Hey, watch out for that wall.'" I'm glad you still laugh with me, because there's important things in laughter. One of us, it releases us later to think maybe a little bit deeper and go a little deeper emotionally. But kids, I just want us to ponder, and Jesus showed us how to be children. I think kids show us how to handle Christmas a little bit. 7-year-old boy, a little bit older than Katie, was asked to say grace at the Christmas dinner. The family bowed their heads in expectation, except Mom. She kind of kept one eye on him, and Lee began his prayer. It was great. He thanked God for Mommy and Daddy and the brothers and the sister and Grandma and all the aunts and uncles gathered around. And then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey and the stuffing and the Christmas pudding and even the cranberry sauce. And then Lee paused. And there was wait. They were waiting. His mother kind of looked at him. And after a long silence, he said sideways out of his mouth, "Mom, if I do thank God for the Brussels sprouts, he's going to know I'm lying." He's a good theologian. Santa's lap. "Ho, ho, ho. How old are you?" "I'm 9. Then there's a pause. "But when I was 8, I did some things I wasn't supposed to." Kids, they capture our hearts. They capture Christmas. They have an inquisitive attention that we don't always have. They notice details that we don't notice. They're willing audiences. They discover things that we miss. They make fresh observations. They're unguarded. Because I've had kids for the last 28 years, I've got to watch more of them as I go. And maybe even now, I kind of watch Katie somehow as a grandfather sort of dad thing. So I think I enjoy what she does more than I did when my 28-year-old son did some of the same things. It's like I go, that's okay. I can just let this unfold and see how it plays out. "Daddy, why are some people more fluffy than others?" And then there was one time I saw her looking, and since this is my 4th, she said, "Daddy, is that man's..." Yes. We won't even say what that was. Every community has some of these. Grinnell had several, but one of them came to be part of my life, and he was just one of those guys that tracked a little different than others. If you could picture somebody who looks like Santa Claus, who maybe smokes too many cigars and smells of brewed aftershave that maybe he didn't shower but just brewed it up anyway. And he became part of my life, and I'd take him out for coffee and some treats once in a while, and I'd call him when I hadn't heard from him or seen him. I never saw him at church, but he was just one of those, he was one of my friends. But on Wednesdays, it was Daddy Day, and Katie and I always went to McDonald's, and she always wanted to sit by me, so she's sitting by me. And then one day I'm getting the ketchup squirted just right and the chicken nugget Happy Meal, and we're talking about that we can't open the toy till we eat our meal. It's been before she was in school, the year before she was in school, and suddenly my friend appears on the other side of the booth, and he sits there and he begins just to talk without even asking if he could sit down, and he's just going and going and going. And this was about the time that my daughter was watching the movie Frozen every day. And in the perfect Olaf voice, she says, "He's crazy." Fortunately, he didn't hear. And I had a little talk with her about my friend, and I said, "You know, he just struggles sometimes.
He's crazy."
Innocent, direct, true, and very often beautiful. Brocky and I got to go to Hawaii a few years ago, and I came out in the new suit that Brocky bought me. Very festive Hawaiian kind of swimsuit. And Katie looked at me and said, "Dad, nobody needs to see that." Jesus loved kids. Point number one this morning. If you don't get anything else, get this, but I hope you get point number two. Jesus loved kids. I think this beauty, this honesty, and then if you see him in the scriptures, he was physically drawn near to them. I think I picture him getting down on his level, and we see artwork like that, and placing his merciful hands and praying for them and blessing him. And some of the adults around him, some of his self-assured followers, those who knew better, I think they tried to head these little ones off and you know, get the more important, the adults, there's bigger and better things to do than have these kids here. And Jesus says, No. Because Jesus saw things so much differently than oftentimes we as busy adults see things. In fact, he often looked at things upside down and backwards from how we normally look at things. And he says, "Listen, I want them to come." And often what he said that would shock the scribes and you know, surprise the phylacteries off the Pharisees and the cynicism out of his fishermen, he said, "Listen, there's some important things that we can learn from these kids. Let them come to me. Their pleasures are simple. Their hopes are high. What can we learn?" If Jesus said, "Let the little kids come," and it's fun, you know, at Christmas time, this season, many of us get to spend more time around kids than we normally get to if you're not parents anymore. We get to spend some time with nieces and nephews and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And maybe it's the best time to catch what they have. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the likes of such as these. Jesus loved kids. Point number two is the really good news for this morning. The good news of Christmas is he also loves us adults too. He also loves us adults too. And at Christmas, we pause and we talk about big words like incarnation and Emmanuel, God with us. And it's the time, this time when God shows, we celebrate this great love letter, this great Christmas card that said, "I love you," in the birth of Jesus and all that had happened. But it really, this romance of heaven, it wasn't a new thing to God. God had the love for the sons of men on his heart since the beginning, and maybe before the beginning. He had this loving heart, this longing heart, as a lover longs for his bride. In Jeremiah 2:2, he said, "I remember thee." And it's a foreshadowing of the New Testament church, I think, that Jesus Christ delights to think upon his church and look upon her beauty. And I want to caution you, Havilanites. Can I call you Havilanites? All right, I will. Okay. The Greensburg Knights. Nope, see, it's the Havilanites and gathered community. Be careful how you speak about the bride. God's thoughts for the bride are long thoughts. Their long love thoughts. His thoughts about the bride started really before Christmas, but they came to being and got spun into process at Christmas. "I remember you." He said, "I remember how Jesus is going to look." Now, I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon here, and I know he had a great beard and he probably was a Calvinist, but man, could he say things like other people couldn't say. Just listen to Charles Spurgeon here. "When the world was set upon its pillars, he was there, Jesus. Many a time before the incarnation, he descended to this lower earth in the likeness of man, on the plains of Marmi in Genesis 18, by the brook of Jabbok in Genesis 32, beneath the walls of Jericho in Joshua 5. In the fiery furnace of Babylon in Daniel, the Son of Man visited his people because his soul delighted in them and he could not rest while he was away from them." yeah, he might have had some theology that not all of us in the Friends Church and Wesleyan Arminian agree with. Man, could he say it. It gets better. As the bird often returns to the nest, as the wayfarer hastens to his home, so does the mind continually pursue the object of its choice. For his heart longed after them. Why did Christmas happen? Because God wanted it to. In ways that we humans fail, we can't even hardly grasp. He wanted it to. His heart longed after them. His thoughts rolled onward to the time when his elect should be born into the world. He viewed them in the mirror of his foreknowledge. He says, "Your eyes, my unformed body, all your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be." And it was speaking prophetically about Jesus there in the book of Psalms. "Never were they absent from his heart, for he had written their names on his hands and graven them in his side." Spurgeon. What's Christmas about? It's about the overwhelming pursuit of the Father. The amazing, extravagant love of our Heavenly Father is what caused Christmas. And the fact that we needed it. We talk about the good news of great joy. A Savior has been born. And I come back to that over and over and over again because I need a Savior. I don't know about the rest of you this morning. I'll raise my hand. I needed a Savior. Now, I may not have theology the same as Spurgeon, though it's not all bad. It works for him. God bless him. Got lots of big old dusty books that smell kind of mildewy in my office. It worked for him. He made it work. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes," we know how that ends. Wouldn't it be good, you have another week, wouldn't it be good to have eyes in the days ahead that see what children see? Give yourself permission this Christmas and the next week to see what kids see and learn from them. Watch how they approach this season. And maybe today, in prayer, maybe you could pray that God would make you more present with those you love this Christmas season. But also maybe that God would make you more aware of the presence that he has in your life this Christmas season. And maybe you could pray that your faith would be like that of a little child. "Let the little children come to me." Let's pray. God, today we are so thankful for your grace and the way we can look at it in different ways. God, we are thankful that a baby does change a lot. Not only that, it can change it all. The Christ child changed our lives, changed the way we look at the world. God, may this week and maybe this coming year as we start to think about the new year, but we don't want to rush past Christmas, but maybe just this week, we could get excited about Christmas. We could have a renewed faith. Maybe it's a knowing faith and a knowledgeable faith and a theological faith. But just maybe it might just be good to have a childlike faith too. That says, "I believe. I believe it all. And it's good." God, thank you for, from the beginning, pursuing us. That we are on your mind and your heart. That having a relationship with you is possible. We pray this in the Christ child's name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have a business meeting, but I got you out early on purpose. Okay? You don't have to be a member to enjoy a business meeting. Okay? It's our budget and the nominating committee, and then, and besides, it's cold outside. Stay here in the warmth with us a little longer, and we'll give you a little time to greet and shake and hug and smile and all those things we like you to do. But then I think Tracy has some copies available of the budget, the proposed budget, and maybe the nominating report. So if you want to look at those real quickly. I think Marshall's planning on a record-setting meeting, so we won't keep you long. But if you could stay, that'd be great. And if you can't, we understand. But go with God's blessing. Please come back next week. All right? Please come back next week and celebrate Christmas with us. And if you can't, that's great too. Be blessed and be safe. Come back in the new year. God bless you.